Tim, you have news about your room.
Cricket.
Yes,
talk.
Well, we'll see if you can hear the cricket chirping in my office throughout the entirety of this recording and the entirety of the last like 3 days of my life.
Oh, no.
wait, are you invaded by crickets right now?
I'm invaded by crickets, singular.
Oh.
I don't know how he got in. I
mean, how long do crickets last?
Oh, a couple, like a while.
Yeah, it is possible that I suppose like one cricket after another is coming into the room.
We have the cricket like.
Yeah, why do crickets?
8 to 10 weeks? Holy shit!
Hella nice. Old. Yeah. Why do they chirp? Yeah, Google that too.
Do they chirp to fuck? Is the
they
question?
They do chirp to fuck. They chirp for many reasons. It's pretty much, it's like how humans talk, and sometimes humans talk to fuck. Sometimes they talk to recap anime series. And crickets seem to do much the same.
That is the same thing. it's not. No.
Anyway, so yeah, all sorts of reasons, but famously faster when it's hot, colder when it's slower when it's cold.
Yeah. Is that,
really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Crickets are cool.
Crickets seem pretty cool. I'm all right with a cricket.
Yeah.
I sleep with earplugs in. Fucking whatever.
Yeah, I do too.
Really? It's probably really bad for your ears, huh?
Huh?
To sleep with earplugs in?
No, I mean, not if they're like designed for that. And not like just, jammed
Taylor,
up in
Taylor, do you
there.
Sleep with CVS earplugs?
No, I have, there's a brand for people with small ear holes, because I have small ear holes.
Yeah, same.
Because
time, I had to buy the earplugs for girls, which I didn't know they made.
That's because we're so tiny and delicate.
Earplugs are a gendered item, but they were always a little smaller.
There's a brand of earplugs that I use that, let's see, okay, what the fuck is it? It's called like Mike's Earplugs or something like that.
It's for short kings in the ear area, in the ear region.
It is Max, as in M-A-C-K, apostrophe S.
Okay.
Slim fit, soft foam earplugs.
Jesus. Are these earplugs or condoms?
I will say that all of the imagery on the Amazon page of the people wearing the earplugs is all women.
Well, yeah.
It do be like that.
How
sometimes.
Does it feel to buy earplugs for chicks?
They're purple.
Yeah, good. 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 We can't have non-gendered things, and it has to be different colors. It probably costs more too.
I'm sure.
Just for
it does.
Good measure.
they're made with comfy cush.
Yeah.
God.
For our delicate eardrums. Mine are called from Loop. They're like, I don't know. They're good. I like them. They make a bunch of different kinds for like shows and
for
ones
girls.
That,
the
no,
the,
they're for anyone.
The brown or the beige, I suppose. Max earplugs. Have a picture of a man doing construction type work, and the purple ones have a picture of a woman doing carpentry.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
so,
good for her.
I mean, good for her, but it is definitely they're making a strong gendered statement.
Yeah.
It does kind of make me want to get a circular saw.
Well, ask your father.
Yeah, Dad, give me your saws.
No.
Wait, have we discussed my dad's VR bike yet?
No.
No.
We definitely have not.
Okay, so
is he biking in the metaverse?
He is My father is biking in the metaverse.
Why?
So okay. First of all, my father is what, 65 years old. His friend, he loves to bike. My father is a bikeman. He wears the spandex bike suits.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
But his friends keep getting hurt on the bikes. They keep like crashing into shit. And so my mom was like,
on the actual bikes?
On the actual bikes. Yeah. Bicycles.
Okay.
On street bikes.
Okay.
And so my mother was like, David, you're going to break your back.
Probably.
You're like, you're going to die here. And so my dad bought a Peloton.
Oh, okay.
As one does. Sure. My father being my father decides that the Peloton is not realistic enough.
No.
So I walk into the garage in their house. And there is a 60-inch television that has a bike in front of it. Like, not like a exercise bike. I'm talking just a bicycle.
Okay.
Did he, like, pop a wheel off and get one of those things?
Right. Yes, exactly. And he goes, oh, yeah, my buds and I have been doing this. And what they do is it's adorable. They literally get on Discord. And there is, like, a bicycle video app thing that is an MMORPG. Swift. There are people from around the world riding bikes. They meet up in virtual bike land and they all ride around.
What do they sell? Puzzles?
No, they just bike.
Oh.
They just like go up hills.
Yeah, is it Zwift?
It is Zwift.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Studio located here in Long Beach, California.
But he he attaches. It's just a fucking gigantic television in the garage. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
That's where big TVs go.
Yeah, God.
Honestly, having only met your father for like, I don't know, a half hour, and most of that was him giving me money and telling me to drive to Home Depot. That makes sense. Like, this tracks for me.
Yeah, that's David. It's David Cock as fuck.
Yeah, that makes sense.
David.
Taylor, just real quick, if you want to save yourself a deal on earplugs, Max Dream Girl Soft Foam Earplugs have a unique hollow and flared design for women with smaller sensitive ears.
I do have small and sensitive
for
ears.
Women is the only difference in that description, pretty much, for between the slim fit, and it costs $5 less.
So.
Are they on the Zon?
They're on the Zon, yeah. They're pink. So, you know, if you're okay, like, really...
Yeah.
Tim, these are only for 31 decibels. Max, the purple ones are for 31 decibels.
Yeah, you're losing out on a decibel, which is pretty cute.
While you're sleeping, what the fuck is going on outside? A great question.
Oftentimes, the mariachi band on the street.
Yeah,
I've discussed the mariachi band on this.
We have, yes.
They
have guest hosted the podcast, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
They are louder than Dinosaur Jr., I swear to God.
They had a segment.
Episode. Want to talk about anime? Should I say that before we start?
No.
Okay. No, you dig in, brother.
Episode 110. The Steam Ninja Scrolls, the Resurrection Hot Springs, !
So, real quick, I was not expecting these two episodes to go the way they did, or rather this arc, but I will say, both of these episodes, pretty gay.
Pretty gay. I expected them to be pushing on that a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
There were implications.
There were strong implications. Yes.
For multiple characters, like not even one, not even one individual implication.
Four.
Let's get to it. Four characters.
Technically three, but yes.
Yeah, I suppose. Anyway, we are starting where we left off last week, which is the last time we recorded a podcast episode, right?
Yep.
Right. Last week.
Time.
Yeah.
That's how time is.
Mm-hmm.
The Mirai and Tatsumi are still talking about the hot springs where you can speak with the dead. Mirai is like, I don't think the hot springs you can speak with the dead exists, and Tatsumi is like, yes it does. Tatsumi says that she really wants to see her mother and asks Mirai if she wants to see her father too. Mirai is sad about it and says she can't join, gets up and leaves. Then she gets dressed and goes to check on Guy and Kakashi, who are sleeping adorably. And peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're lovers.
Yes.
More than lovers. They're like in a very committed relationship.
They're in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, yeah,
they are
hard pressed to believe that is not the text of this
show.
No,
like fucking
these episodes.
I dare you to prove me wrong. You can't. They tell me. But yeah.
Anyway, Mirai looks at the moon and makes a decision. She goes and gets Tatsumi and says, "Yes, I will accompany you. I'm worried about your safety." Tatsumi says they should leave now because they can only see the dead at night.
Uh-huh. That's suspicious.
How close is this hot spring?
I know. I don't. I guess not that far away.
Tatsumi has a map, the scrawlings of a mad child that indicate the location of the hot springs, and they're going to follow this fucking Muppets ass treasure map. They're walking through the town. The town is spooky at night. Mm-hmm. And then a piece of clothing blows onto Tatsumi and she freaks out, and then Mirai laughs and says her reaction wasn't as big as Guy's when he saw the ghost, and then that's a little fun moment. They have a nice moment.
I love it when people have a nice moment on this show, because they so rarely let people have a nice moment.
Yeah. They are walking through the forest. Tatsumi asks Mirai if she's thirsty. Mirai says,
"Yeah, she is."
Says, "Yeah, now that you mention it." And then she's like, "There's a hot spring nearby where we can get water."
I don't want to drink the hot spring water.
I don't want to drink the hot spring water either.
Well, good thing you don't have to, and good thing it is not plot relevant to this arc at all.
It's Chekhov's water bottle.
Duh. That was the joke, Tim.
Oh, okay. Well, geez.
Do better.
You know, Taylor, excuse me for assuming you missed a plot point.
I saw it this time. I watched this one at work.
This one is...
don't tell my boss.
You just told him on pod. Yeah.
He's on vacation today. It's fine.
He's going to listen on his journey back.
Anyway, Mirai drinks it and says it tastes like iron.
Even worse.
Wow, that couldn't be plot relevant at all.
Couldn't be.
It must really taste like iron, which gross. Like, don't be drinking this.
Doesn't blood famously taste like copper, not iron? But, you know, whatever.
I'm not often eating metal. Or blood, I guess. But I guess I'm more familiar with the taste of blood. It's fine. We've all had dental procedures. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Tim used to get bloody noses all the time. What does blood taste like?
Me too. It's fine. It's not great.
I think the question is more, do I know what iron tastes like?
Yeah, and no, I don't.
But you know what a penny tastes like?
I'm not eating pennies. I know where those have been. Disgusting.
I absolutely know what a penny tastes like. I don't know why. Because
you're a boy.
Oh, yeah. I feel like pennies don't taste like blood. So anyway, that's my take. Mirai asks Tatsumi what she would say to her mother. She says she would apologize because they had a dumb fight right before she died and she never got to apologize. And then Tatsumi tells Mirai that her father must have been amazing because he was Choji's teacher. And Mirai says she wants to ask a lot of questions, like what the king is, and also why did he die before she was born? I don't think he had much of a choice in that one. But
Mirai, yeah. Mirai, I don't think he'll want to like talk about that part.
Tatsumi asks if there is stuff she wanted to do with her dad. Mirai has a vision of like seeing him sitting out on the porch, and she like goes up to him, and then Tatsumi kind of says her name, and she's shaken out of her reverie,
her dad stupor,
and then they get to a river, and Mirai just hops across the rocks, and Tatsumi's like, "I can't get across the rocks," and so Mirai goes back and picks her up and hops across.
Adorable moment.
And then yeah, it's very
and
nice.
Then Tatsumi falls in love.
Yeah, and then they have a little montage of Mirai doing all the work for Tatsumi and Tatsumi being like you know, swooning.
There's a lot of swooning happening in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mirai chops down a tree and puts it across a large ravine.
She did not need to do that, but as the real message of this show is deforestation is good.
Mm-hmm.
So, everyone knows this.
Yeah. Tatsumi is like, wow, you must be like popular in town because you're so cool and hot. And Mirai's like, ha ha ha, I guess.
And okay, so when Tim says she said that you're so cool and hot, Tim's not like making a joke. About like
no,
there's no. It's
I'm
not,
paraphrasing, not making a joke.
I'm worried that our audience is going to think that that Tim, you're kind of like playing it up a little bit.
Yeah,
no she says you're hot and like
you're
cool. She says everybody you're so pretty.
Yeah,
but yes,
yeah, she's literally like you're so pretty and also cool, and it's like, oh yeah. It is a real, do you want to be her or do you want to be with her moment? And the answer anyway, is be with her.
They continue on and they are holding hands. There is a suspicious figure in the forest. They come to an unmarked fork in the road and Tatsumi's like, well, shit, there's no fork on my map. And then the suspicious woman comes out of the woods wearing a weird hat.
Can't be doing this. Everything about this so suspicious. Like
so suspicious.
What are you talking? Don't do this. Don't do anything that you're about to do.
She's like, hey, are you guys looking for the hot springs where you speak to the dead? And they're like, oh yeah, we are. What a lucky coincidence. Where do we go?
No.
And she says, you go this way, I'll show you. And they say, awesome. Thank you.
No.
And she shows them the way. They ask if she saw the dead, and she said, yes, of course, she saw her older brother, and it was awesome.
It was sick, bro.
And then they get to the waterfall, and a waterfall, and then she's like, it's in a cave behind that waterfall, and then they go up, and there's a guy outside the cave, and he's like, oh yeah, come on.
This is really, like, fucking with my... belief that behind the waterfall is always something good.
Mm-hmm. The waterfall. Don't go behind the waterfall.
I mean, that's it's the trap, right? They know that the expectation is that it's something is good. Why? How could anything bad be behind a waterfall?
That's what I'm saying. How dare they?
Magical.
Like, behind the waterfall is a holy place.
What a
trap. Only semi-usable items hide. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a piece of heart.
Well, Tatsumi's heart certainly was behind this wall, this waterfall.
Damn, Tim.
Anyway, they go into a cave. Mirai says, it smells like sulfur in here.
Stinky.
Somebody's farting.
And they get to the end of the tunnel.
Who be eating eggs in here?
There's no hot springs in the room. It's just a big room with a bunch of women in it.
Bunch of gals
probably wearing their earplugs, their pink earplugs for women.
Yeah.
Dream girl, Max dream girl.
Good callback, Tim.
Yeah. One of them who looks like excessively normal. She's wearing like a t-shirt with a long sleeve shirt underneath. Like she's in the
late 90s. All just like the same character that they just like. They just shaded them differently. Like they look exactly the same. It's like, okay, great job, artists.
Well, like, it's also like
not a lot of variety here.
I also just feel like they're wearing like our world clothing.
Yeah, where did they come from?
Like these are not from Naruto Land.
They're not from Naruto Land. They're wearing like fucking like t-shirts and jeans and have like regular haircuts that are normal hair colored.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, a lot of brunettes here.
What's a lot of moms in this general vicinity.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the very normal one comes up and asks if they're here for the hot spring where you can speak with the dead. They say yes. And everyone's like, wow, this is great. This makes 20 of us. There's finally enough for the ritual or the ceremony.
No. And if you have to have, okay, there's so many things. don't do it.
I do feel like, to be fair, Mirai seems pretty suspicious.
Yes.
She is, this isn't like horror movie, her going along with it. Tatsumi is fully horror movie character. She is just like absolutely in. But Mirai is like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tatsumi's like, wow, we're lucky. We got here just in time to be the 20th people for the ceremony.
Wow.
What a coincidence.
What a quinky dink.
A guy in a mask, like a COVID mask.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, why is this guy just a nurse?
Yeah, he's like, okay, everyone, I'm here to take your blood pressure. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
And just the one of them. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is very anti-mask in this establishment.
That entry guy had a mask, but it was more like a veil.
Yeah, he had like a...
like a mourning
what's
veil.
That, what's that guy's name? Yep. Country singer?
Oh, Orville Peck?
Orville Peck.
Oh, so yeah.
The guy out front had an Orville Peck mask.
Yeah, but not as fringy.
Yeah, less cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the mask guy is like, it is time, and they go into the next room, which is a much nicer tunnel. And everyone is impressed by how nice the tunnel is. Multiple people in the party comment on the quality of the tunnel.
This is a really solid tunnel.
It was a good fucking tunnel, especially, mm-hmm. I suppose, if you're these girls who have been waiting for a month in the unfurnished, unadorned in any way. Standing in the middle, just slowly counting as more and more people arrive. Anyway, there's a door at the end. It opens. It's like a steamy room, like you might find in a hot spring. But also, there's a guy on a throne.
And he looks, he's got a weapon that looks awfully suspicious.
He does have a very familiar weapon.
He has a familiar pastiche.
Yeah, he's got some vampire vibes.
Guess
he's got
what?
A poor man's bladed scythe.
A poor man's version
of a character we used to know.
Yeah.
Oh.
He might be in a hole somewhere.
Might be.
I have some questions about this hole.
Me too.
Later on.
Yeah. So,
he says he's impressed by their resolve and says he'll grant their wish. And Mirai is like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to let us see the dead? And everyone's like, how dare you? If you ask, they're not going to do it, which is always a sign that the thing is real.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Ryuki, that's his name. I don't know if I said it. Says, no, it's fine. I'll tell you. And he says, there was a shinobi who raised the dead during the Great War to fight.
Just and one.
Mirai is like, aha, yes, I know about this. This is the reanimation jutsu. A forbidden jutsu.
It's a bad one.
So many people who did this. Like, now it's like, wow, it was only one. Like, no.
No.
They just kept on doing this.
Also, like, many of them are still alive.
Yeah.
Not was, is a shinobi who did this.
Yeah.
And Lord Ryuki says he has developed a version of the reanimation jutsu that doesn't require a sacrifice. And so he is going to use it in this creepy cave to grant people's wish to meet their dead relatives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He picks the very normal looking girl and says, who do you want to meet?
I've decided her name is Megan.
as you should.
Megan says, I do think she actually says her name here and I did not write it down.
She probably does, but it's Megan.
Megan.
He asks Megan who she wants to meet, and she says her friend, Kakuna. I like that I wrote the friend's name down, but not Megan's.
Katie.
Megan and Katie. He has her come over and puts on a robe. I do like how cult coded this is.
It's so cult coded.
It's so obviously cult coded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts on the robe and goes into the mist, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, Kakuna, is that you there? Wow, it's so great to see you." And then he's like, "Okay, who next? Who's next?" And Tatsumi's
who
like,
"Who next?"
And she gets her robe and goes into the mist, and is like, "There's like sort of a spooky sound," and then she's like, "Mom, is that you?" And then we cut out to the crowd, and they hear her being like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear from you." And then Ryuki slinks on up next to Mirai and is like, "Okay, now your turn." Puts on the robe, goes in the mist. And Ryuki looks after her, and we get a foreboding shot of his signet ring.
What?
Well, the, yeah.
Which is like a circle with a triangle in it.
Weird.
Weird.
Boring. Not as cool. anything.
Mirai, in the mist, sees a vaguely awesome shaped figure, and then the episode ends.
Dun, dun, dun.
Episode 111, The Steam Ninja Scrolls.
Mirai's... Also, like, oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
Steam Ninja Scrolls, colon. Mirai, apostrophe S, is king, exclamation mark.
What I was going to say is, like, this is a great time to, like, remind people, like, don't just give people your full name. Just don't give people your full Christian name. Yeah. Anyway. I have a couple other rules for life after this.
We open with a flashback in town. Mirai comes across a confidential document. It's Shikamaru's mission report from the mission where Asuma died.
Why was this out?
Yeah.
Why was this out?
She was just by accident, I believe she says. She stumbled across this in her little monologue, which is like, how are you like stumbling through this library?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You guys are too concerned with the logistics here, he says, as the guy who is always concerned about the logistics of the television program.
Anyway, it's the mission report from Asuma's death. It's about Hidan. Hidan's necklace has the same logo as Ryuki's signet ring.
I wonder if he's involved with the cult of Hidan.
Yeah.
I miss
Joshin, this. You mean? Joshi.
Yeah. I miss this dude.
I do too. I fucking love Hidan.
Hidan is really, like
just
like,
an incredible character, like design, vibe, like everything. Yeah. I'm like, wow, good. Do it again.
Hidan's like the guy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's like a top tier anime villain.
Yeah, seriously. Like, oh, this is actually like unique and weird, and I'm into it.
And I do kind of love that, like, they pretty much resisted the temptation to like explain it all and dive into the cult of
Joshin.
Like, they didn't. Hidan didn't get a flashback. Like every other villain in this entire fucking show gets a flashback explaining like their whole deal.
Yeah,
and he doesn't. And he's just like a weird fucking guy.
And you're like, oh, but it is real. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And you're just kind of left with like, maybe it is.
Yeah.
You know?
He was just kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
Anyway, this is mainly exists to make the signet ring connection, but also to remind us that Hidan's whole deal was once there's some blood, he can do a spell, and that makes any damage he takes go to the person that he is possessing or whatever, and that is how he killed Asuma. Remember? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. I was there when it happened.
Now we are caught up on the relevant plot points for later in this episode. Mm-hmm. Ryuki's got the same scythe Hidan does also.
Weird.
All the girls are like lined up, looking pretty dazed, and they're given water. And Ryuki says, don't drink it until I tell you to.
Mm-hmm. I have another rule for life. Like, if you're ever with a group of people and they all want you to wear the same thing and they all want you to drink something together in unison, don't do it.
Yeah, this feels pretty.
It's really have to leave.
Don't
do it.
Hey, that thing they're doing, don't.
Don't.
Though, to be fair,
to
the residents of Jonestown.
Oh yeah. They were forced.
I think when you're at the point
Heaven's Gate,
where the drink
so
is
much.
Being put into your hand,
it's gonna you're gonna
you
get
don't yeah you can't don't have caution.
You're gonna get drunk. But don't try not to. I
try
guess
not to be in this situation.
Try
the lesson learned.
Ryuki says they'll see their loved ones soon, and then he says to drink it all. As soon as he says to do it, they should all drink
do
it. And Mirai is like talking to Tatsumi, like all like kind of like, wow, like aren't you excited to see your mom? I'm excited to see my dad. And Ryuki is like, hey, shut up. And Mirai is like, well, I'm worried that my dad's not going to recognize me because I wasn't even born yet when he died. And Ryuki says, well, I have news for you. I can go back and forth between the land of the living and the land of the dead, and I've been talking to Asuma and he's super excited to see you. And she's like, oh wow, really? And then she says,
That's she, weird.
Her name is, she's named after Mirai Toki, a famous shogi player. And so she's hoping that he can teach her shogi because she sucks at it. And she's named after a famous shogi player. And Ryuki's like, oh, yeah, I totally know that name. Like, Asuma talks about Mirai Toki all the time. And then she's like, gotcha, bitch. Mirai Toki does not exist. I knew you were full of shit.
This is fucking Teen Girl Lying 101. Like, please. Yeah. This guy's an idiot.
Just full blown get fucked, loser.
Mm-hmm. Ryuki tells everybody else to drink, and Mirai shocks the water with lightning jutsu to like wake everybody up. And she says they've been gotten by the hypnotic mist. Mm-hmm. Then Ryuki grabs Tatsumi and holds a knife to her throat. And then Mirai says, oh, so you're the one who's behind the missing girls case. Hell yeah. They stuck the landing on that plot point.
They really did.
This is the most like Dungeons and Dragons ass. Like, it's like they're given like a quest hook and then the players completely fucking ignore it and go do whatever to hot springs and then are going to like, you know, whatever, follow rumors about mysterious hot springs, and the DM is like, fine, at this last fucking hot spring there's the bad guy and he was behind the missing girls case.
Yeah,
like,
fuck you, you know, it's
like, you're gonna follow the fucking plot no matter what.
Which reminds me, have you guys seen the D&D movie, the most recent one?
No, but I want to not, because yeah, I heard it was good and I like Chris Pine.
It's a fucking banger.
Yeah, I should watch it.
There's a joke in it, mm-hmm. and this is very early, this is not really a spoiler, where there's clearly a character's name is supposed to be Jonathan, but somebody mispronounces it as Jonathan, and then from that point forward, that character's name is Jonathan. And it's good. The most D&D ass, like, no, this is, no, it's that his name is Jonathan now.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It's such, the whole movie is just the, like, the most chaotic, funniest, D&D game you've ever played, and not in this. Can I be a hater real quick?
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Hate away.
You. That is like, yeah, yeah.
The,
go.
I think the vast majority of those D&D shows on Twitch/podcasts are total garbage.
I only have listened to the Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone
just
is
because
good.
I like them.
Yeah,
also,
and I
think
those
they
boys.
Do a good job, but there's too many, and like I play D&D weekly.
I like D&D just fine.
Too many. There's too many of them.
Every single one of those shows, and I include the most popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
All of them feel like bad improv to me.
Well, that is what.
All of them are comedy sports to me.
Well, yeah. If you look at many of the participants,
mm-hmm.
they do be looking like improv people.
they're improv ass motherfuckers is what they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you like those, but I'm not fucking sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. We're allowed to all like our own thing, you know?
Okay, everyone can like or give hot takes about whatever they choose. This podcast mm-hmm. is a safe space to hate on or enjoy.
Yep, and no I feel one's like, ever been rude on a podcast.
I feel like as the host of a podcast, I'm allowed to do that because if somebody hates my podcast, it's fucking fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Except somehow I That's get true. The hate for it, which like I don't even go on social media.
I'm just like, I don't even go here.
I don't even go here. Leave me alone. But it's fine. Whatever.
Ryuki wants to sacrifice these girls that he kidnapped from the villages or enticed to leave, I suppose.
Gotta say, who amongst us has not wanted to sacrifice some girls that even that are from the village?
I would say I
have not.
Us.
What is that even? I don't, you know what?
Moving on.
I think you guys should just let that one go. That's
if he sacrifices enough girls from villages, he will become immortal as Hidan was. I don't think he says Hidan's name yet.
Did they explain why it had to be 20?
No. Sounds good. No, big number. Sounds like, what's more threatening? A guy that kills 20 people or a guy that kills two?
I sort of...
I'm going to assume it's that. That's the logic.
Well, I think he sort of says, like, if he sacrifices enough people.
Mm.
And so maybe, like, through whatever thing, 20 is just, like, maybe the number that he picked.
Yeah.
Or was in his scriptures or whatever.
So, but, like, yeah. I mean, I guess, theoretically, if one person escapes, then, like...
That's still a lot.
They could warn somebody, so if you get all of them in one swoop...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Lord Joshin loves fresh young blood.
Mm-hmm. He's a pervert.
Who amongst us?
No.
Mirai recognizes the name Lord Joshin.
Lord Josh.
And then Ryuki cuts Tatsumi's cheek and licks the blood and uses body possession jutsu.
I do not like how she gets possessed. It's different than the others, and I do not care for it whatsoever.
Not ideal. He tells Tatsumi to attack Mirai, and Mirai doesn't want to fight back. She's trying to, like, get her to stop, and Ryuki's like, what, you're not going to, like, just kill this kid? This civilian?
You're not going to kill this child?
And then there's a commotion outside, and I should probably have written down the quote for this, but a guy comes in and is like, there's some people out front, like,
a mysterious guy with messy hair.
Yeah, and then, like, a guy with, like, really striking features in a wheelchair and who's, like, really loud. And then the door busts open and that guy goes flying, and it's Guy and Kakashi, of course.
I just love how, like, descriptive they get. Like, for some reason, you know the scene in the first Star Wars movie, A New Hope?
Uh-huh.
Where they're Han Solo is trying to convince the stormtroopers not to come upstairs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just gave me very strong vibes of that. I don't know why.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Guy tells Kakashi that he won because the guy used more adjectives to describe him than Kakashi. And Kakashi's like, I don't fucking know what you're talking about, man. And he's like, we are competing and I won. And then they're like, well, I suppose we should probably, like, free these people or whatever. And Kakashi throws a knife and it hits Ryuki's hand. He drops the puppet and Tatsumi is released from her possession.
Just the most casual, just like...
Just like, absolutely no worries. This is just a chump.
Yeah, it's like, that's why they're like, go on, kid. You can take care of this one.
Yeah, I like that. Ryuki throws an urn at Mirai. She cuts it in half, and then the water dissolves into steam, and Ryuki is gone. And Mirai is, like, looking around, and Kakashi's like, he went that way, and points into a tunnel that Ryuki is running down, and she follows after him.
I love this. Like, just Kakashi just being like, yeah, you got it, bud.
Yeah, this whole scene. They're just, like, completely chilling. They go into a big room with, like, an obelisk at the middle and a well of green liquid.
Never a good sign.
Ryuki has, like, hidden himself somewhere, and he's like, this is the ritual room. This is where Lord Josh will grant me immortality.
Not Josh.
And Mirai
Josh ain't gonna do shit for you. Never trust a Josh.
Never trust a Josh. Mirai asks who Hidan is to him. Ryuki says Hidan is a Joshinite hero, and he is Hidan's heir.
How do they know his situation? Did he page them? What's going on?
I literally wrote this down. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so let's do this one next sentence that he says.
Okay.
And then we will talk about this. He says, it is fate that Asuma's daughter has shown up here because sacrificing her will cement his place in the Joshinite religion and make him a hero like Hidan was. Okay.
Explain.
So I'm trying to remember. Was there, like, a day between Hidan killing Asuma and Shikamaru killing him, or was it, like, an hour?
No, there was a day.
Okay, so I guess that's
because they went back for the funeral, I think, and then they, like, set out on a mission to kill him, I think. It's been a long time.
I'm trying, because that's the thing I'm trying to remember. Like, this works, I suppose. They wouldn't have
left Awesima there. No, because while that is happening, and Shikamaru goes off to chase Hidan, Naruto shows up and takes care of Kazuko, or whatever his name is, and he was not there yet. So, yeah, it is a different period of time.
Okay. So I guess he could have written a letter back being like, I have killed Asuma Sarutobi.
I mean, I guess.
Or whatever. I mean, yeah, I guess.
I guess. Yeah.
Anyway.
I bet that Shikamaru spread the word to be like, guess how much of a gnarly motherfucker I am.
I do not think he did that.
I don't think he did that.
Among your enemies? You don't think that's a Shikamaru-ass move?
No. I think it's the opposite of a Shikamaru-ass move. But I would love to know how this cult, which apparently has just existed in perpetuity, knows, like, what... I mean, do they just think Hidan's... I guess he is alive. But, like, and he's just busy, and he's not gonna call him back? Like, what's their lore that they've come up with?
Yeah. Well... we'll talk about that at the end, because there is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Ryuki is ranting about returning the House of Jashin to prominence. And then he says something that I would say is maybe like 40% too meta, like about this show, and maybe not like in a good way. He says, this era is garbage. It's just a tacked on continuation of the last era when there were real heroes.
Oh. Jesus Christ. I don't know what that one meant, guys.
Yeah, I remember.
Maybe a little too much of a cell phone.
Yeah, like you didn't have to make this.
You didn't have to say this. You didn't have to write any of that sentence.
Yeah, you didn't have to put that in the script, but you did.
Anyway, this show's been chugging along for 200 more episodes after this, so I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
Despite Kishimoto maybe feeling like it's garbage.
Kishimoto's like, fuck this shit.
I'll take my own break. It's like, okay, go for it.
Whatever. All right, man. Whatever you say, dude.
Mirai realizes that they're similar, and she's kind of like, well, I was kind of like that guy, and this guy sucks, so maybe I should rethink my whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then she jumps out of her hiding spot, and Ryuki cuts her with a scythe. And then licks her blood and turns her into a puppet. And he's like, you killing Asuma's daughter, she's going to be worth 100 people. Like, surely no. Joshing will love this. So
he's going to find this fucking sick as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, check this shit out.
Josh seems like a very chill deity.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a big, like,
really weird
part of most deities throughout history is them not being pleased about things.
No.
And it particularly murder.
Well, no.
I mean, they're like sacrifices have been.
Sacrifices are cool pretty to cool. lots of people.
And often you want to do a good enough sacrifice.
Yeah, or it doesn't count. And then you have to do it again.
Yeah, more sacrifices. Sides with a different tribe, depending on the circumstances of your society.
Fucking Zeus fucking loved a sacrifice.
Zeus is a real dickhead.
Well, yeah, he was too horny. He was too horny to, like, focus on his job.
Now, who amongst us?
No.
okay, so he stabs the puppet through the heart.
There's a lot of blood in this episode.
It was pretty gory, yeah. Mirai's blood gushes out into the blood well, which then fills the obelisk with blood. And
I love a good blood well, like, man.
I can feel the immortality surging through me. Like, I have done it. I have slain Asuma's daughter.
This guy's an idiot.
But then suddenly, Mirai dissipates into nothingness.
Oh my god.
It was a genjutsu.
Oh my god.
Oh man. And then Kakashi and Guy walk into the room and they're like, oh wow, seems like Mirai's got this under control. And they just sort of stop and watch.
I was like, oh, nice. Yeah. Cool, dude.
Ryuki says, but I tasted blood. And Mirai says, or maybe it was the iron-rich hot spring water that you tasted.
Drink that nasty-ass water. If this guy who regularly tastes blood is like, yeah, this water tastes like blood, then the fucking nasty-ass water, don't drink that.
We get a flashback to the scene of her cutting, or her getting cut by the scythe, and it was actually her water bottle.
The totally not plot relevant water bottle, you mean?
Yeah, the totally not plot relevant water bottle. That out of pure coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Ryuki is like, well, if that's a genjutsu, maybe all of this is a genjutsu. Maybe I did actually kill you and am immortal.
Good point, dude.
And yeah, Mirai's probably. Like, I don't think that's how this works. And he summons like many, many spears from there were spears going out of the wall in the earlier fight. I didn't mention it because it didn't seem all that important.
Well, she could dodge. She dodged them all pretty easily. So.
Mirai activates her spirit blades and Kakashi kind of has a vision of Asuma. And then she does wind style, whirlwind fist, and chops up his tummy real good.
She hits him really hard. Like, I don't think she had.
And then he
had.
Is, like, fine in the next scene. Like, I was pretty sure he was dead, and then...
Yeah.
And yet... Like,
yeah, lots of blood there, too.
And then Guy and Kakashi are like, that was pretty fucking cool.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
And then...
I like that they're both just, like, nice.
Yeah. They're just commenting.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is later, and everyone is outside. And Ryuki is being arrested. Tatsumi wakes up and she is like, oh man, I'm bummed that this was like a trap and not actually opportunity to speak with your dead mother. And
yeah. I'd be pretty bummed too.
Yeah. Mirai says she's glad Tatsumi asked her to come because that then she was able to save everyone's life. And Tatsumi is like, well, this sucks because I just have to go back and be stuck with my memories. And then Mirai says, memories aren't so bad. You can look forward to the future.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then Kakashi and Guy are talking about how it's good that the case is solved.
Is.
Kakashi says,
so,
but okay. If there's a hot spring that could heal your leg, and he kind of looks at Guy, and Guy says, it's okay if my leg never heals. Like, I'm alive. I'm having this time with you. We can be together.
Boys.
And that's literally really what matters.
Literally, that is like what he says.
They're really just boying it up over there.
Anyway, so yeah, yes, Guy and Kakashi is a
canon.
Actually, a canonical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always saying this.
Yeah.
So, Guy says the king they swore to protect has been passed on to the next generation as they look at Mirai.
Mm-hmm.
And then later they are walking home and they get to a fork in the road and Tatsumi is going to go right. They're going to go left. So they wave goodbye to Tatsumi.
She says, like, don't get, like, tricked by any more idiots or something. It's like, okay, thanks. Really helpful. Really motivating. Don't get fooled again. Bye.
We won't get fooled. That's like the song. Like, mm-hmm. That song.
Yeah.
Little
known song, actually.
Nobody's ever heard of it.
No. It's like pretty underground.
Right, Tim?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of a song called that.
Yeah. See, it's pretty underground.
Yeah, it's pretty underground. Kakashi turns to Mirai. And is like, hey, by the way, the other cultists told us that Ryuki just made all that shit up from old Joshinite documents that he found. Like, not really clear if any of that was real or if he just sort of like made it all up himself. Isn't that weird? And then
cool.
Mirai is like, it's odd that we like were going on this vacation and then we ended up getting swept up in a big adventure. And Kakashi is like, it's not weird at all. We were here to investigate the disappearances the whole time. Kiba, Tenten, and Choji were all helping us investigate.
What?
And she's like, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell me? And Kakashi is like, well, your mission, our mission was to do that. Your mission was to protect us. And also, you would have gotten a little too busy and, you know, you would have gotten caught up in investigating.
You would have gotten really weird about things.
Like, she's like, no, I weird. Wouldn't. And then she's like, yeah, I would. Yeah, you're right. I absolutely would.
And then they get home and Kakashi is like talking about the case still. And then Mirai stops and she's like, hey, wait, you're going to make me write this report, aren't you? And Kakashi's like, or I think Guy says, I look forward to seeing your wonderful report.
He says like youthful report in the English one. Like, oh, okay.
I don't think he said youthful in the Japanese one.
And his English voice actor, like, really, it's really definitely a vibe.
his English voice actor sounds like...
We've already talked about this.
Yeah.
But oh, yes. Yeah, Gage Sean Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else.
I should probably watch some stuff with Guy in English.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Boruto comes out and gives her shit, and she's like, well, actually, we saved a bunch of missing girls. And Boruto's like, oh, man, wow, cool. And then it is later, and Mirai is playing Shogi with Shikamaru.
We are.
She says she thinks she finally knows the answer about the riddle of the king. And she said, until recently, she was overzealous and not flexible. And Shikamaru says that is also her strength. This is not really relevant to the next part, but she says it. After this mission, she realized that it's not worth dwelling on the past. They have to look forward and protect the future children of the village. They are the king. And Shikamaru's like, you are right. Good job, Mirai. And then Shikamaru says, that's why Asuma named you Mirai. And she's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. And Shikamaru's like, no, you didn't.
You could never guess that he was talking about the future when he named you future.
Like, yes.
I might have guessed. I learned
because
that.
I had to look it up. Mirai means future.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Shikamaru points out that she lost the shogi game. He had defeated her while they were talking. And then we cut to Mirai standing on the stone heads, and she gives a little introduction about how she's Mirai and she's a shinobi. Yeah. And the episode ends.
Yeah, I like Mirai a lot. I hope she comes back and actually does things.
It would be nice if she was a major character after this, because she
can't be, because she's in between generations.
Yeah, she is, unfortunately.
She's too young to be a...
How old is she? Like 20?
I think she's like supposed to be like 16 or something.
16?
Like a little bit. Oh no, I guess maybe. I don't know. Maybe 20. Closer.
Maybe. I mean, I'm trying to remember, because if she...
Well, Boruto and Ko are like 11.
14.
Oh.
Because she's like a little kid at the end of Naruto.
Yeah.
So she might only be like 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's right. Probably. Yeah, you're right. Because she was like a toddler at their wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's toddling around. It took me way too long to realize that toddler is like a literal description of a child. You know what I mean?
That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They're toddling around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Tim knows.
I do. I'm much familiar with toddling.
Mm-hmm.
Their heads are too big.
I know your child ate a lemon the other day.
She did. A whole slice of lemon.
Was she interested in it?
Loved it. She ate it all. Like, ate the whole flesh.
Yeah, it was like a really demolished lemon. She ate a lot of lemon.
Well, okay.
I'm proud of her.
Yeah, and then she's eaten some lemon since. Big for her. Lemon eater.
Yeah. She's like, I heard that Uncle Taylor's allergic to this. I'm going to be powerful and destroy him.
I'm going to fill myself with lemon to ward off.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't come over and play with magic cards if I'm emitting lemon.
Keep that motherfucker away from my face.
Man.
Anyway, Good apps. The show could be like this good all apps. The time, and I it expect could be, it's, but not. It's not.
This show could be like this all the time.
It could be, but it isn't. Who knows what's next? I don't know.
I love that we're in a point where M doesn't even know what's next.
Yeah. Nah. Are we past the point when you stopped watching?
No, I watch really intermittently because I was like boring. And then like when something like happened and it was on Twitter or whatever, I'd be like, okay, I'll go look at it. And then I'd watch that. And then there was one that I watched and I'm like, I'm fucking done until I have to be. So we'll see. I don't know when that was episode wise. I know we have like a major character that we haven't met yet, which seems odd, but they're probably coming.
Yeah. They're probably coming. I assume we're going to get back to Boruto being the main character of this show, unfortunately.
Probably.
So there's that. I mean, the opening theme song sort of promises some fights. I hope it's a real guys in masks. So
I'm concerned.
Why? Because you work in
I'm
anime.
I'm concerned that the fights are just not going to be good.
Mm. Well, I mean,
remember
was
when they
the
were
one.
Really good?
Yeah.
Well, there was the fight. There was, yeah, the, but like that included Naruto and Sasuke being cool as fuck.
Oh,
well,
they're still allowed to do
Sasuke
stuff.
Sasuke cool. Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, we're going to focus on the kids some more, and the kids don't fight so good.
Yeah.
No. It's because this generation.
Yeah, this era is garbage.
Garbage.
Garbage for babies.
Continuation of the last era.
Yeah.
This generation can't fight for fucking shit. When Naruto was this age, he killed Haku.
He didn't kill Haku.
By the time Naruto was this age, he had killed one of the seven swordmen of the Hidden Mist, whatever the fuck they're called.
No, he didn't.
Didn't Kakashi kill him?
Yes, I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah,
he did too.
Technically, Zabuza just kind of died because he like fucking was over it because he accidentally killed Haku. Naruto just cried, remember? Which valid. Like, I'm not I'm not cry shaming him. But yeah.
Sasuke got stabbed a lot by this.
He
age.
Did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And we're like, oh, do we like Sasuke? I'm like, oh boys, you have no idea what's coming with this little boy.
Not anymore.
Now you do. Haha. It all came full circle. It just took like 20 years. Literally.
Don't fucking put that on me. How dare you?
You just said Sasuke was cool.
I said he fought
audio.
Cool.
That counts.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. This is the end of the episode.
This is the end of the episode. Let's I want to thank James Freeman for our theme song, which is original composition. You wrote just for us. I thank Frank Anderson for our logo. Thank you all for listening. Hey, with us and follow us on Twitter at Nerd Show Podcast. We will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.